Andrew talked big picture thought. I just felt really as I was praying this week about what to share here today. Our little segment is called The Life of the Evangelist, and that was the title, honey. But that's okay. Andrew's all about the catch because he's a fisherman at heart. But, you know, I felt like the one word I would use to describe the life of an evangelist is messy. And Andrew's like, don't use that word, honey. It's too trendy right now. I'm like, I know, it's so trendy. Everyone's writing these books, you know, the messy gospel. But I think it's appropriate, and I wanted to share it just because that's kind of how I feel right now. I just feel like it's just kind of messy, and everything that we do, and when we make our trips and our plans, and we pray it through Burkina Faso, and we're like, okay, this is what's happening, and sometimes it just ends up being messy, but it's awesome and it's so great and it's beautiful and there's a beautiful harvest, but the process and the people and the kids and the travel and the jet lag, it just, so I just wanted to just be real about that a little bit, because I think that's the real part of being in evangelism. And you know, that word messy, really, if we were to find other words, complex, tangled, confused, and all the things that we struggle with in, you know, in the messiness of life. And then added on top of that is all our weaknesses, right? So there's the messiness of functioning in Africa or wherever, traveling, and then you pour on top of that all of our weaknesses, and then it can really get messy. So needless to say, I love the Bible because it's full of messy people. Isn't that so encouraging? I mean, every time I read through Genesis, I am reminded of how unbelievably dysfunctional these families were. And, you know, Abraham, the father, Abraham, gave up his wife to the Pharaoh, basically just handed her over to the Pharaoh. He also kicked out his own baby mother and child into the desert. And then his son Isaac did the exact same thing with his wife. Talk about generational sin. Isaac gave up his own wife, Rebecca, because she was so beautiful, to King Abimelech. I know all of you are Bible scholars and you know all of this. And then Moses, well, Jacob, you know, he had favorites. Moses committed murder. Poor David, he's the one we always quote because he had the one, he had the biggie sin. You know, he really messed up. But one of my favorites is Joseph. I love Joseph because I feel like Joseph was kind of honest about himself. And poor Joseph, you know, sold into slavery by his own brothers, gets a great place with Potiphar in his home, then he gets thrown into prison, then he helps the cupbearer, and the cupbearer forgets about him. So finally, Joseph is finally back in front of the Pharaoh because he interpreted this dream. And Pharaoh says to him in Genesis 41, Pharaoh said, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And the very first thing that Joseph says, it's so beautiful. He says, I cannot do it. That's what he says to Pharaoh. He says, I cannot do it, but God will interpret your dream. And, you know, when we got back from Jamaica after Christmas, we'd been gone 3 weeks, and I felt fully overwhelmed by all the things in our life that were just messy. And, you know, as I read that, I listed out all the things that I cannot do. I'm not going to, because you won't come back to the conference. But I listed out all the things. I was, Lord, I cannot, I cannot, I cannot, I cannot. And all the things that I feel that way about are the things that are my responsibility. You know, they're the very things that I am called to do. They are the things that the Lord has given me a burden to do. And they are the things that I stand before the Lord and I say, I cannot do them, Lord. And I cannot do them well. And I cannot do them without them being so messy. It's embarrassing. But God. but God. And I feel so convinced of that beginning 2015. And that everything that we are called to do is just nothing without him. It is us running around just being messy people. You know, I'm reading this story about Amy Carmichael. I don't know if anyone has read her story. She was a single woman who went to India as a missionary at the turn of the century. And she really changed the face of missions under the British Empire. And she was in India for 52 years and never took a furlough. And she was a woman that was devoted to the cause of the work of Christ. She exposed child prostitution in the temples in India. She helped change the law. She started a ministry and saved thousands and thousands of children. And the ministry is still going on today. But, you know, she was so messy when you read her story. She couldn't work with other people. She was the big boss. It was her way, God, Amy, and everybody else obeyed. That was the way she functioned. She couldn't work with men because she was so strong. And people were constantly coming from the UK to serve with her. And they'd leave within 2 or 3 months because she was just so intentional. And she'd ride around her compound on her bicycle, just making sure everything. And she's one of the most celebrated missionaries, female missionaries of all time. But things were messy over there in India. And it just encourages me so much. Not her mistakes, but that God used the devotion of her heart, her willingness to die for her to herself, and took all of that messiness and turned it into something beautiful in the lives of so many children. I found this amazing verse, and Proverbs 14:4. And I didn't really find it on my own. I found it on the internet from some other pastor. But I'd never really read this verse before. And here it is in the New Living. Proverbs 14:4. Without oxen, a stable stays clean. But you need strong ox for a large harvest. And I just had to think about that. What is that? Without oxen, a stable stays clean. So the word used for clean there, the Hebrew word actually means pure. It's the very same word used in Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So it means pure, clean, that same word. So without the oxen, the stable is clean, right? But, and what is it to have a clean stable? Means no ox dung, right? Because they're messy and dirty and they go out in the fields. But with the ox, when you have the ox in the stable, there will be a great harvest. And I was thinking about this, how we all really actually don't want to be ox. We want to be a beautiful stallion, you know, prancing around the nations, sharing the gospel and seeing this beautiful harvest and showing off and being so beautiful for the kingdom. But really what we are is we're ox, right? That's what we are. We're cumbersome and we mess up the stable and we're not particularly attractive. And we make so many mistakes and we have so many weaknesses, you know. But God uses us for a great harvest. And he's using all of you for a great harvest. And isn't that word the evangelist's favorite word, harvest? It is what we want, what God has given us that burden and that passion for. And without the oxen in the stable, there is no mess. But when the oxen is there, it is messy. And there's a great harvest. And I just wanted to encourage you with that today, because I think many of us go back to our homes and our families, you know, and my house is so clean when the kids are not there. It is organized. It is picked up. It is I walk by the boys' room and it's clean. The beds stay made when they're at camp every day. The beds are made. But you know what? When they're not there, I can't stand it when they're not there. And, you know, sometimes we have dinner and we'll all have dinner around the table. And like last night, we'll talk about best part of the day. And the teenagers are rolling their eyes. Okay, we have to have best part of the day. And Sadie's like, oh, I love best part of the day. But, you know, we'll have this beautiful time together as a family. And we work hard to make it happen. And then everybody gets up and there's the messy kitchen. And it's just a mess. And I hate it. But, you know, that mess is there because we sat down together as a family and we were there. And they were there. We ate good food and we were there together. And that translates so much into the work that we're doing. It is going to be so messy. And I think it will always be messy. 35 years. And it's just always messy. And I just wanted to encourage you with that. One of my favorite verses is, you know, Isaiah 61:3, he'll bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And we love that verse because we love to think about the beauty. But have you ever tried to clean up ashes out of your fireplace? You know, they just the second the ashes can get away from you, they do. And ashes are so messy. But God, in all of his amazingness, he comes and he just pours beauty on it. You know, and he just covers the ashes and he covers the cow dung and he covers the messy kitchen and he uses us for his harvest. So I just wanted to encourage you as you go back to your messy homes and offices and families and that he's right in the middle of it and he's using us. Amen.